thank you to this week's podcast sponsor, YTG, Yarborough, Tabor, and Goodwin Insurance, located on Gum Street in Marion.
Well, we're glad you're here on our Friday Rocket pregame podcast. We apologize for coming to you later this week, but some scheduling conflicts necessitated we do this Friday morning rather than on Thursday, as we customarily do. And we're coming to you on the fly today. Coach Starnes and I are actually on the road driving between Marion and Princeton. Been over to WPKY to do a morning coach's show with the Gator and DT, and that was fun, Coach Star.
Yeah, you know, that was fun. It was good to see those guys. That we go back a long way, and you know, that was a good thing for Princeton and Caldwell and Crittenden as well, because you know, they had a lot of good things to say about Crittenden County.
And it's always good to hear that and to have it reinforced. We feel very proud of our program and always have, but it is nice to hear what others have to say about you. Everybody likes to be patted on the back, no matter how long you've been in any particular business.
Yeah, you know, it's better being patted on the back than the other place. So, you know, you don't want to get slapped. So, I mean, it is good, Chris. Yeah. I mean, you know, you work hard, try to do things right, and you know, it is nice for people to say that and recognize that.
Tonight we have a pretty difficult task. Caldwell County comes into this game 0-3. Now, they're probably one of the best 0-3 football teams in the state of Kentucky. Of course, we have to remember Caldwell is in 3A this year. Play a difficult schedule. They've fallen out of the top 10 now in Class 3A, but they're still a good football team.
Yeah, they're a solid football team. They lost some close ball games. That they're very potent. They run the system offense, and they throw the ball real well. Shane Burns does a great job of throwing the football, and has a support staff that can catch it. And then you know, I understand that Javonte Riley is a running back, and he broke his arm, and so they're going to put a big running back in there in Henderson, and you know, he's a bruiser. I mean, he's a big guy, and he keeps on going. So you know, it is going to be a tall task for us tonight, but you know, we have to focus on ourselves and what we do. We have to minimize our mistakes, and you know, we have to play fundamental football and take care of our responsibility.
Now, we'll talk briefly about this. There, so far, there has been no change that we know of in the KHSAA ruling on last week. So we none of our players have been affected. Coach Wheeler has been suspended, as we've talked about before. He's out for this game and one more. You'll be calling the defense tonight. And how does it feel to get your hands dirty again? You've kind of been the real head coach the last two or three years, where you hadn't had to call that stuff all the time during the game. So has it been fun this week?
I mean, under the circumstances, no, the way it happened. But, you know, I'm glad. I mean, I'm happy to do it. And I remember when I first came to Crittenden County, I would call the offense, the defense, the special teams, and did it all. We had two coordinators now for past couple years, and you know, they pushed me aside and said, okay, you can be the special team coordinator, and so I've been trying to develop an offensive package with our special teams, and it's good to get back in it and have a say so in it in you know, calling something, you know. So it'll be fun. You know, it'll be challenging. When it happened last week, it was unfortunate because Coach Wheeler is the only one that's been calling it. So, you know, we were trying to scramble to get the defense called, and so we have to make sure that we take more responsibility in our calls and in our knowledge of what we're doing and the scheme that we have, so we can help the kids. We don't want to put the kids in a bad situation. So, you know, that's why this week that I'm going to take over that responsibility and see what happens.
Let's talk about injuries this week. I know you had some guys a little gimpy after the game. Four of them actually went to the hospital. How has been the healing process this week? Are all those guys ready to go now?
Yeah, I mean, they're back, and the exception of Will Dobbins, who went to the hospital late, and we didn't realize it until Tuesday morning, but he hadn't been practicing all week. But the other ones have been practicing, and you know, we didn't mention last week that Adam Wright was out of school, was sick all week, and he didn't play last week. And,
oh, yes.
And so he's back now, and we're glad to have him back. So, you know, a thin team and an inexperienced team, you know, you lose some upperclassmen, and, it hurts. So.
And Adam's a senior on this
and
team.
And Adam's a senior. So, so we're back to, as bad as about healthy as we can be. They're banged up, but you know we still miss Paxton Riley and Jacob Russellberg and but Cody Belt has come in and played a position, the corner, and we had Jared Lundy and Ben Brown come in at receiver and play that, and Ben Brown also played some at safety, and so he's a senior, hadn't played since Little League, so he's getting experience, and we're going to need him, later on, and everything that we're doing, and we have to understand that, we want to win every ball game, and that's what you go out to do, and any kind of competition you want to win, but our focus on is to be as good as we can possibly be for our district ball games, and that's our whole focus, and that's what we need to try to continue to keep our focus on and understand what we're trying to do. And then when we get to our district ball game, then that's when we need to be hitting on all cylinders as much as we can.
Of course, we've got a couple more weeks before we get into that part of the season, and talking about games within our own classification, Ethan Hunt is the Class A number one receiver in the state of Kentucky and number 12 overall, all classifications. Nice feather in his cap. He's played hard, worked hard. Really proud of Ethan. He's a big part of this team, offensively and defensively.
Yeah, and he's a leader. His leadership comes through work ethic and example. He's not a vocal or verbal guy on the field, but he plays so hard, and he loves it, and that's what this game is all about. We can be losing some ball games, but still has the passion, because some people, if you're losing and you're not winning ball games and stuff like that, then you don't work as hard. Some people don't work as hard and they don't try as hard, but it just shows that that this group of kids, they're working as hard, and bless their hearts, they're trying. They want to do well. It's just that we are so young and inexperienced in so many areas that that it shows, and so we're just trying to get these young kids to move forward and trying to get them to grow up pretty quickly.
One of the things that it stuck out at me this week and looking through the statistics, of course, my buddy Andy Hunt keeps all this compiled for. He's not on the sideline, as we've said. He's injured this year, broke his arm, and it's not on the sideline. But he does take all the numbers and puts all this stuff together every week, and it's a big chore. Really, really, I want to say thank you to Andy for that. But in looking at all these statistics, one thing that jumped out at me on the defensive side is that Dylan Smith, who is a senior, and Gavin Dickerson, who is a sophomore, of course, they're linebackers and typically going to be your top tacklers, but those guys are far and above ahead of everybody else. And that's, in looking at that, you can't help but smile, because you got a senior, he deserves, he's been around and doing a great job. But then Gavin, too, a sophomore, and this is a guy you're going to have two more years.
Yeah, and we're proud of those guys, and they're at linebacker for a reason.
Yeah.
And, they fly around and get to the football, and they're working on their reads because they want to do well. I've watched Dylan Smith in practice, and when we practice an offense, a lot of times a senior doesn't want to get on defense because they think that they should just be over the side and let a little younger.
Let the scout team do it.
But Dylan jumps in there and he wants to get better at his reads, and so he's flying around on our scout team and it does a great job, and so that says a lot for him, and it's paid off. He has become a very, very good linebacker for us.
He is, and sometimes we don't mention him enough, I think, because personally, I've come to just expect him to have 10 or 12 tackles a game. You know, if he doesn't, something's wrong. But he is a good football player. And a lot, I see these pictures. Of course, my daughter takes most of the photos of the football games. And then when she comes back and I download those on the computer, and you know, you're always focusing on the tackle. He is in almost every picture.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, go look at it, Dylan. I mean, Dylan, what you have to understand is Dylan's quick.
Yeah.
I mean, he's fast, and so when he does read, he gets there quickly, and you know, and that's a good thing about it, because we say we're young and inexperienced. Well, we basically are inexperienced. You have Dylan Smith. This is basically his second year to play that position.
Right.
And last year he was learning it, and he's still learning this year, but the desire and the willingness for him to work and be at the right spot is so high in his heart right now that he wants to do well, and he is doing well.
Not far behind those guys on defense is Adam Beavers. He's really, of course, Adam's a junior this year. Long arms, long legs, and Adam's a player.
Yeah, I mean, Adam's doing a great job, and, you know, he cares about what he does, and he wants to do well, and he's got some talent, and he's got room to grow. I mean, he's a big frame.
Yeah.
Can put on some weight and you know, be a bigger force. And you know, we moved him from tight end last year to offensive tackle. So he's adjusting at that position. And, you know, we're just counting on our kids to play every snap all the time. And it's just, you know, it takes a toll on us and it wears us out. And last year we tried to play more people. And I think it was, you know, it was a little bit more beneficial for some of the guys to get rest, and I think that's what's happening late in ball games.
Are there any other players on defense? You know, we see all these offensive stats and categories every week. A lot more attention is always on the offense. No way to change it. Historically, that's just the way that it is. That's why I want to take a little more time and maybe talk about some of these defensive guys. Who else sticks in your mind? You know, we've mentioned these three top tacklers, but who else is somebody that maybe doesn't show up in the statistics, but's doing his job, making things happen all the time?
Well, I mean, I think Brandon Lamy is one that does a great job. He's playing corner. He's not mentioned all the time because the way that we have him play, his job is to knock the receiver off the route and then fall into play. So basically, by position, we have him the farthest away from the ball of anybody else. And so he's not going to get that many tackles, but he's doing his job, and he's doing it very well. And another guy that I think that we haven't mentioned that needs to be mentioned is Brady Burke, who is new this year, that came to us from Trigg County via Livingston County. And, you know, just has a passion. I mean, he's out there every day in practice, and he's the one that's the vocal leader and getting the kids excited and stuff. And he brings excitement to the game. And
Going both ways now, right?
And he's going. Yeah. He plays offensive guard and defensive tackle. So, you know, and his motor just goes all the time. You know, and we've got to work on his technique some. But, I mean, you know, he just you put him out there, yeah, and you just turn him loose and let him go.
Was coming off the field last week in the game, and I know I think he just needed a shot of water or breathe or something, and took his helmet off, and one of your assistant coaches said, Where's Burke? Get back out there. And he says, oh my gosh, I just got here.
Yeah.
But he put his helmet on, strapped it on, and ran back out.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you like to see.
And another kid I need to mention is Mitchell Joyce, who's a sophomore, and you know, he plays nickelback, he plays rover, he plays strong safety, he plays you know, corner, he plays linebacker. So, I mean, he's a guy that comes in and does a job and has to know multiple positions. And, you know, he's a fiery little plug and does a great job and loves the game. And so, you know, when he's in there, he's going to be around the football as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's a guy to watch moving forward into the future. Good kid, too.
Oh, very good kid. Very good
kid.
You know, then you have Sean O'Leary that does a great job at defensive end. We got to work on his technique. And I think he's a young kid that really doesn't understand the potential that he has. And, you know,
he's strong as he can be.
Strong. He looks good. And
big, thick.
you know, he was my prediction early to have an outstanding year, and he is right now. He's just got to understand that he's young. He's got to get that technique down so he can make more plays and be more efficient at that position.
Anybody else we haven't mentioned? I know you've kind of.
Well, I mean, you know, Mason Myers. I mean, he goes both ways. He's safety, and you know, he's always around the ball. He does a good job, and I hate to leave anybody out, but you know, we just have to make sure that every position that we have, we do our jobs and focus on what we're supposed to, and continue to get better, and we will be okay. You know, it's sad that we have such a young group for this group of seniors that have worked hard to get to where they are, and our growing pains are affecting them as seniors. But there's nothing we can do about that, and we just have to make sure that we understand it. And as long as the kids are working hard to improve, that's all we can ask from them.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Hunter Bullion. Hunter's still in the top five in passing in Class A, and even overall, he's way on up there. When you know our offense is centered on a passing game, but he's still a sophomore. He threw four interceptions last week. And is there anything that we're doing to dial in? I mean, I know he's working hard, and Hunter's a very intelligent player. Is that a concerning part of what's going on?
No, it's just when you're dealing with a young player that has confidence in his arm, as Hunter does, then he's going to force some balls that he shouldn't force. And that's the experience that has to come with it. And so we just keep working at it, keep trying. We have all the confidence in the world that Hunter Boone is our quarterback and will be our quarterback for the next 2 years. And so he has to understand that there are times when you pull the ball down, you run it, and just live to play another play, right, and not try to force it. Something. And when he learns that, his pass efficiency is going to go up, the yardage is going to go up, his interception ratio will go down. You know, and so he will understand that's what we're talking about, and that is becoming a leader. That will become a leader just by his play, and it demands everybody else to bring up to his level when that happens. And so, in his particular instance, in his play, it's all about he trusts his arm. He has confidence in his arm, but you can't force balls where he's forcing them and expect them not to pick the ball off.
And I don't, just reading his body language, I don't think he gets down on himself like
he shouldn't.
Yeah, he doesn't. I don't see that any.
No. And it's not, you know, we've had players that if you get on him and he goes in the tank and he's done, and you know, you can't bring him back.
Yeah.
He's not that way.
You can see that.
And he understands. He knows when it happens. He knows it's just that young mentality to not do it at that particular time, and that's just comes from age and experience.
Now, of course, Ethan Hunt, as we mentioned, is a top receiver. He's got 5-1 the passing receiving yards as anybody else on the team. In fact, I'm pretty sure Paxton Riley, who's been out of game, is still the number two receiver on your team, and he won't be back. Who's our go-to guy now after Ethan Hunt? We're seeing Ethan all the time.
Well, I mean, you have Ethan Dawsett.
Who caught a nice ball on the sideline last week.
Yeah, that can catch a ball. You have Gavin Dickerson that can catch, that we can put him in, bring him out of the backfield. We have Mitchell Joyce that can catch the ball. You have Devin Nesbitt that can catch the ball. You know, we haven't thrown to Cody Bell. We've got to get the ball to Ben Brown, who we don't know because we haven't thrown to him enough. But if he catches the ball, he has a lot of speed that can make things happen. So, I mean, we've got kids that can catch the football. We just have to make sure that we try to get it to them. And the fear that I have is that other people or other teams and coaches are going to see the same thing. And they're going to make sure that they take the game out of Ethan's hand and make him go to somebody else. And so we have to be able to understand that. And again, you know, that is that he's going to throw it to Ethan because he has confidence in Ethan, and Ethan can catch it. And I'm not saying I wouldn't either, because Ethan's going to catch what you throw to him.
Right.
You know, but there's going to be coaches and teams that take that away that's going to force you to get it to somebody else, and he's going to have confidence and trust that they'll make the reception.
I would assume this week with Caldwell, I think if Caldwell has, you know, their strength is their athleticism, and we know that by their offense, their receiving yards is 2-1 greater than their rushing yards. They like to throw the ball around, but those guys are the same kind of athletes, and some of them are the same who play in the secondary. How's that going to affect us throwing the ball?
Well, I mean, it's going to affect us big time, because I can tell you what's going to happen. It's the same thing that would happen if I had it reversed and I was coaching Caldwell. I'd put somebody in the face of our receivers and play man-to-man and bring pressure with our young linemen, with our linebackers, because they are young. So it's going to force you to throw the ball quicker, and then you're going to throw the ball quicker in man coverage. So, you know, that's what I would do, and I'm assuming that's what they're going to do. They're not going to sit back and let us throw our screen game and let us throw short passes, get the ball quick. They're going to challenge us to either run the football, which is their strength, and they're going to challenge us to throw the ball deep, which is their strength. So that's what you try to do, is make them play into your strengths. And so I'm assuming, and I'm in my mind, I think that's what they're going to force us to do. And so when that happens, you know, we just have to make sure that we have a plan for that.
It seems like we've had a lot more success throwing the ball on the screens and things shorter this year than throwing it laterally down the field. Our slants and screens just seem to be being where we're catching the ball most.
Yeah, and I don't get why that is, because Hunter throws a
good deep ball. He throws a great ball, yeah.
And so I don't know why, when we get in a game, that he throws it to the point where we don't have a chance, or, you know, unless it says if we don't catch it, nobody catches it. But you got to give yourself a chance to catch it. You can't throw it out of bounds like that and expect anybody to catch it. So I don't know what that situation is, whether or not that is just youth or a lack of trust in your linemen.
Are your receivers, are they getting to the
our receivers are there. It's just, and there's several times when we're behind the defender, but we just throw it out of bounds and don't give us a chance. So that can be worked out. You know, that you can work that out. You can work on that, and he just has to be able to trust. And, you know, he threw that interception right before half, because he overthrew the first one, and then so he underthrew that one, so he didn't throw it out of bounds. So, you know, we just have to continue to work on it, continue to get better, and, you know, he has to be able to trust in his deep ball. And I don't know if he trusts it right now as much as we trust his arm. And so he's going to have confidence that he can throw it, and we'll catch it.
And I know we've talked about this Special Olympics benefit that we're doing this week. I don't think we've done it since we've been on the podcast. We've talked about it so much lately. But real briefly, before we sign off, tell us a little bit about what's going on. I think everybody's really excited about this tonight.
And we are too, Chris. Coach Barnes and myself got together and said we always do something in our game. So what do we want to do this year? And we decided that we wanted to honor and recognize our Special Olympic athletes, and it was decided that those kids do not have an opportunity to earn a letter in their schools. So what we want to do is, by them participating in Special Olympics, that is earn them a letter. We want to present them a letter jacket, and we will. And we purchased them uniforms so they can wear and have Crittenden and Caldwell County on their uniforms whenever they represent their school. Because, you know, we have to understand this, that you know, we can go out every day and we can participate in something in school, and we have a chance to earn a letter at the school. These kids do not. So we want to make sure that we send a message that they are representing our school, they are representing our community in Special Olympics, so we wanted them to be able to earn the same thing. And we hope that they will benefit from this, and that they will see that we are honoring them, and it's special for them.
Well, I predict there's going to be some excited young people when they see those uniforms and letter jackets. It's going to be cool.
Yeah, and we hope so. And,
Looking forward to it.
Hopefully you'll come out and you can support that as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, tonight, kickoff at 7 p.m. at Caldwell County. The Rockets are 1-3, 1-2, and Caldwell County is 0-3. Of course, Caldwell's lost to Franklin Simpson, North Hardin, and Christian County. And I believe they think the North Hardin game got taken away from them, from what I've heard and read on online. But going to be a tough game tonight. Come out and watch these two neighbors go to battle as they have many times before.
All right, buddy. Thanks.